Okay, first of all, thanks for being here so early in the morning. I salute you. And I hope it will all be worth it and you won't hate me after that, so that you won't say, I woke up for that. And in general, I'm going to speak about a more or less hidden functionality of Janus, so one that not everybody knows about, but it's actually quite powerful and we use it a lot. So the ability to interact with raw RTP streams to do fun things. First of all, a couple of words about me. I got my PhD at the University of Naples many years ago. Now I'm the chairman of a company called Miteco that we co-founded with some other colleagues at the university. And as I would say, I'm the main author of Janus. And there you can find some links about me, including shamelessly a link on SoundCloud on some music that I'm writing just because I'm old and so I'm back to acting like a teenager. And so I won't indulge too much on this. I mean, some of you may know that Janus is an open source and general purpose. We call it general purpose WebRTC server, mostly because it is flexible enough to do a few things. We have an open source repository on GitHub, a discussion group on Google Group, and many demos that you can play with before installing Janus if you want. And just a very quick recap, the idea behind the modularity is that we have a WebRTC stack that sits in the WebRTC core, so everything lives there, and then we have plugins to do everything else. So how to handle the media, for instance, to implement a conferencing functionality, a SIP gateway functionality, and things like this. And also the way that you can talk to Janus is also modularized, because we have a standard API for that based on JSON, and then you can use HTTP, WebSockets, or RabbitMQ, or whatever you want to talk to it. But in general, as I was saying, one of the interesting functionality of Janus is the ability to act as a WebRTC enabler of sorts. So the ability to talk to components that may not know anything about WebRTC. And of course, the first example that comes to mind is talking to SIP infrastructure. This is a common use case. So how can I take my existing SIP infrastructure, which knows nothing about WebRTC, and make it talk to WebRTC endpoints for one reason or another? And since the beginning, we actually wrote a plugin for that basically has an integrated SIP stack based on SOFIA. And then whatever you do on the WebRTC side transforms into SIP communications on the other side, and media is gatewayed as well. So you have all the fancy RTP stuff that WebRTC does. It's all stripped down so that it can be turned into something that SIP infrastructures can digest instead. So this gatewaying is done on the server side. We have a similar plugin that actually came up from an idea of Saul some years ago that basically strips the SIP functionality from the plugin and just leaves the media gateway in place, which means that all the SIP communication is up to you. You can do it however you want, for instance, using SIP over WebSockets. And then you only use the plugin to basically gateway the WebRTC RTP stuff to RTP or SDS RTP if you want. But sometimes you want to engage with RTP using something out of context, so not necessarily using a protocol like SIP to establish something. And one of the first plugins that we implemented for the purpose was the Janus Streaming plugin, which in its simplest form is basically a way to bind to a couple of ports. You send plain RTP to that into a codec that makes sense to WebRTC. For instance, you capture something with GStreamer, FFmpeg, or whatever you want. You send it to Janus, and Janus turns it into a broadcast that a lot of people can subscribe to. And so this is a very effective thing that we use a lot, for instance, when streaming events. An interesting functionality of this plugin is that it can also act a bit like the SIP plugin for RTSP. So it's a common choice for people that want to make their security cameras that are based on RTSP, they want to make them WebRTC accessible to more than one person, for instance. It's an usual feature. Sometimes you want to do the other way around, though. So take something that WebRTC users generated and forward it to another real component. And this is a bit more tricky because most of the plugins that we have that enable WebRTC injection stay within the WebRTC world. This is the case, for instance, of the Audio Bridge, that is basically an audio mixer that mixes WebRTC participants. So it can be used for audio conferences on WebRTC. You have a single channel for all the participants, then the contributions are mixed using an N-1 approach, and then everything receives a mix except their own voice, basically. But in this case, whatever they say stays within that conference, so only WebRTC participants are able to hear this. And same thing for the video room, which still implements some sort of conferencing functionality, but just relaying streams, so it's an SFU. All participants send their media, no mixing is done, it's just relayed to all the other participants that are interested in this. So for instance, in this case, you see three streams for each of the participants because everybody is sending something and receiving the other contributions, which is of course flexible and depending on the application that you want to do. But again, this still lives within the Video Room plugin. So to receive a media from a WebRTC user, you need to be a WebRTC user yourself using the out-of-the-box functionality, which is why we came up with something that we called the very simply RTP forwarders. So it's true that the AudioBridge and Video Room plugin only deal with WebRTC users, but for the internal logic that they do, which may involve recording as well, for instance, they have access to the raw RTP frames. So the Janus core takes care of WebRTC, as I said initially. It strips all the WebRTC layers from the packets and from the SDP and passes it to plugins, which means that plugins have access to the unencrypted media, which also means that depending on the logic that you want to do, you can do whatever you want with these packets. And one of the things that you can do is very simply take these packets and send them somewhere else that, that may be of interest. And by default, the easiest scenario is, of course, just relaying the plain RTP packets, but there may be scenarios where you want some encryption anyway, even if not as strong as WebRTC does. And so we do support SDES there. And the reason we chose to do that is that there are a lot of tools that can work with WebRTC natively without knowing anything about WebRTC. I mentioned a few like VLC or GStream or FFmpeg or whatever, OpenCB with some... with the GStreamer integration, for instance. And so the ability to also take advantage of multicast networks, which is something that you cannot do with WebRTC. So there are several interesting things that you can do, and I'll spend a few words about this later. We also added a basic RTC support to these forwarders, and I'll explain later why. And just for the sake of completeness, they are called RTP forwarders, but they can also be used to relay data channel messages. We basically take incoming data channel messages and shoot them out on plain UDP datagrams, basically. So you may be limited by the MTU if there is an MTU enforcement somewhere, which may be a limitation, but that's still quite effective in most cases. So if we think about the AudioBridge example from before, for instance, what we do with RTP forwarders is not forwarding the individual participants over there, because in the AudioBridge, what we are really interested in is the mix, so the conversation that they are having, which means that RTP forwarders can act as like a hidden participants in the AudioBridge, which means we take the mix of everyone, encode it with Opus, and then send it via RTP to whatever may be interested in that, which again may be a GStreamer pipeline or an FFmpeg script or something, which may be very easy to, for instance, turn a WebRTC conversation into a podcast that a lot of people can listen using another technology, like HLS, for instance, or Icecast, or whatever you want to use for the job. And this is basically the syntax. I will not indulge this in this much, but just to give you an idea, you can configure the address where you want to send the RTP packets, possibly some RTP overwriting, for instance, if you want a specific SSRC or a specific payload type because the tool may need it, whether you want encryption or not, and things like this. With the Video Room, the approach is a bit different because there is no mix here, so there is no mix that we can actually capture and encode. And what we can do, though, is in some cases even more powerful than that because we can focus on individual publishers and forward them instead. Which means that if we focus on the gray participant there that is sending his media and the yellow and green participants are receiving it too, what we can do is that for each packet that we receive from the WebRTC participants, we can also shoot it outside to another component, which can be helpful in a ton of different scenarios because the Video Room is used in most cases for video conferencing, but it's also just used for capturing media, for instance, when you want to record something, when you want to process something. And something like this is very helpful to, for instance, send a WebRTC contribution to a transcoding component, to a remote recording component if you don't want to record in Janus. Some people are also using it for identity verification, for instance. You have those cases where you have to show your ID into an identity verification process, so you mix a bit of machine learning or artificial intelligence somewhere in that box on the right. You receive the media and you do some processing with media that came from a browser and you wouldn't have been able to access otherwise. The request here is a bit more complex than the AudioBridge because, first of all, with the Video Room, we can handle both audio and video. And most importantly, for video, there may be simulcast involved. And These RTP forwarders are simulcast aware, meaning that they can also relay you the three different streams as three different streams that you can handle separately if you want. Again, we can support encryption, and here it's also a bit smarter than the other one, because if we know that we want to send the same encrypted packets to a lot of different recipients, it makes little sense to encrypt it once for each recipient. If we know that it's always going to be the same packet, we can just encrypt it once and distribute it to a lot of recipients at the same time, which is an interesting optimization in this case. As I was saying, there are several different use cases. So in general, anything that involves some form of remote media processing, so recording outside of Janus is an example, or even interacting with legacy technology like RTMP. Take, for instance, the ability to take a conference of some sort and transcode it and send it to YouTube. YouTube typically expects RTMP as an injection way, even though they support WebRTC now as an alternative. If you want to take advantage of that and distribute your broadcast, your event, to a ton of people, what you can do is send all the streams to a separate component, mix them there, and shoot them out via RTMP, for instance. Or, as I was saying, any kind of functionality that you may want to use some of your existing tools for. Another use case is related to scalability, and I spend a couple of slides of this in a minute. But again, as I was saying, everything that you may want to do with the media that you cannot directly do if it's WebRTC, it's something that in theory you can do with these sort of enablers. Because, for instance, you may have some interesting scripts in OpenCV that you want to take advantage of to process images. The way to have access to those images is basically forward them from Janus via RTP to a component that is OpenCV compliant, and you do everything there, basically. I was mentioning scalability as a use case, and one of the first use cases that we were interested in was large-scale broadcasting. So the ability, for instance, to have a user injecting media from a browser, from a phone, or whatever, and make it available to, I don't know, potentially millions of people. So, for instance, we want to stream the Super Bowl or the final of the Champions League to millions of people via WebRTC. What you can do is basically you implement some sort of tree-based topology, which may also take advantage of multicast internally, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a tree with unicast connections. And if you imagine having Janus at both the injection point, but more importantly on the distribution side on the end, all you need to do is making sure that you inject RTP packets, you distribute them into the network somehow. So just working with plain RTP, no WebRTC involved here, just so that you have the maximum flexibility to do whatever you want. Eventually, it reaches, let's say, a battery of streaming plugin instances scattered all over the world. They all get access to the same stream that was injected originally, and now a stream that was only available on a single box, so that typically would have only been able to distribute to, 1,000 people, now you can distribute potentially to millions of people instead. The same can be said for spreading, let's say, a video conference in different regions. Typically, you would require all users to go to the same server. If you have something like RTP forwarders in place, you can basically use the video room and streaming plugin together to basically orchestrate something that is more globally reachable. So in this case, a user from the US is publishing on a server in the US. You make sure that the media is made available to where the room may also be physically available to other participants. And so a user from Italy may connect to a server in France that is much closer to the US, and so on and so forth. That's the basic idea. So, of course, I mean, this is already a very, very powerful feature, and we are using it quite a lot. And a lot of companies are actually using it extensively. But there are some announcements that we'd like to make sooner or later. So first of all, I was mentioning just the audio bridge and the video room because that's the only plugins that actually take advantage of that feature. And this is because they basically implement the feature separately. They are basically very much alike. Even the syntax is very much alike. But basically, There are separate implementations of the same thing. So one thing that we'd like to do is move this feature to the core instead, so that basically it might facilitate the integration in other plugins like Lua or NoSIP or the SIP plugin, for instance, to do monitoring without needing to do a SIP call for the purpose and everything like this. And possibly something that may also facilitate features like lawful interception in the future. So we have a couple of ideas in place, nothing ready yet. And I'm done, so I don't know if there is time for any questions, but thanks for the attention.
Thanks a lot, Lorenzo. We do have time for one or two questions, if any. There we go.
Kind of a little bit tangential, possibly, but fits in some ways. Any plans for RTP over Quick in Janus at any point?
For that, we are waiting. If you mean on the WebRTC side, we are waiting for the standardization to move forward, mostly because there actually is no standard for that. So Quick is not ready for real-time media at the moment. There are investigations to figure out what changes may be needed at the protocol level or not. And Google even made a simple experiment to establish Quick connection, but mostly for generic data. But it's not really ready for media yet. So what we are waiting for is basically some efforts that may allow us to take advantage of that feature from browsers, for instance, to see if we can interact with those. As soon as that happens, we'll definitely do that.
All right. Well, thanks, Lorenzo, then.
Thank you.